I was going to say that when I first came here, the globe offering, and I probably shouldn't say this. How cheesy. What is this? And, of course, we weren't doing it necessarily as a Christmas offering at that point in time, and then we ended up making it a Christmas offering. But then I had a verse of Scripture that came to my mind in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10, the very first part. God said to Zechariah, "For who hath despised the day of small things?" Who hath despised the day of small things? And you see some children come walking up here after a letter's been read, and they turn around, and you see them going around and people throwing things in. It seems like, man, that's kind of cheesy. It's a globe with a hole in it. Thanks, Rusty, by the way. And they're going around, people, and you think, eh. But, you know, the last couple of years, we give it as a Christmas gift to all of our missionaries. And so there's 25 missionaries we support, and they're all averaging $700 to $800 every year for Christmas. Now, multiply that times 25, and it's not so much despising small things now. Amen? And it's a great thing. And I praise the Lord for it. And all right, we are in 2 Kings this morning, or this afternoon, I guess it is now. And I'm going to try something I don't know that I can accomplish. It's what we call in the Bible terminology, I'd call it 3S. 3S is simply a short, simple sermon. We'll see, all right? So you may be going home early today, all right? Now, I want you to understand you don't see my words when I say them, but when I said you might be is underlined when I'm saying it. So I don't want you to put your hope on that, but it might be that you will go home early because it's just a real simple, short message that I hope will have a little impact on us. It's a familiar story. A story that we all enjoy. We're going to talk about your faith sets the capacity. And you can see in the picture what the story is already about. With the woman and the oil, pot of oil. So let's go ahead and read 2 Kings chapter 4. We'll look at verse 1 through 7. Now, I just did a message on the great woman. You remember that great woman God called? That follows this incident here. The woman that took care of Elisha. We talked about her on Mother's Day. This is what preceded just before God calls this woman great later. Now, in verse 1, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets." So she was a preacher's wife. "Unto Elisha, she cried out to Elijah, saying, The servant, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elijah said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, excuse me, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. I like that story. By the way, I just want you to know that God cares for the widow. Amen? And a widow is of great concern to God, and God hears the prayers of widows. And this story has always intrigued me from the very first time I read it years and years ago. I was reading some quotes. I like reading quotes from good Christian people. And there was a woman by the name many might know, Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom wrote the book The Hiding Place when she was in prison in Nazi camp, watched her dad die in prison. Her sister died in Nazi Germany camp, and she escaped and was pretty bitter and angry. But God changed her spirit. Matter of fact, the guy that was very mean to her, that would beat her and stuff, actually come to know Christ as his Savior. But Corrie Ten Boom said this, faith is when you praise God in the storm, when you trust him in the valley, and you follow him in the dark. She goes, that's what faith is. Now, this afternoon, we're taking a very familiar story that we just read here. Here is a woman. She is the pastor, a prophet's wife. They're in the ministry. Her husband is a good man of God. He's not an unfaithful man. She even reminds Elijah, and Elijah doesn't say, no, he wasn't that good. No, Elijah knew who he was familiar with the man, and understood that he was a good man being trained to be a prophet for God. We don't know the circumstances necessarily. We just know that she comes to him and says, my husband is dead. My husband's passed. He's died. I'm a widow, and we have some debt. The debt collectors have come. They've given a deadline, if you would, for payment. And if we don't have payment for the debt, they're going to come and take my two boys, and they will sell them. Four bondmen or servants to people, and the money they get will pay towards the debt. I'm glad that doesn't happen today. Amen? But you should be careful how much debt load you should take upon your family. Throw that out there. The Bible says, owe no man anything but to love him. Now, Elijah tells her to go take out another loan, right? Correct? Let's just find out. How many of you believe that Elisha told her to go take out another loan? Say amen. Yeah, she had to go borrow pots. That was a trick question. I'm just finding out. You guys have still got way too much food in your belly. So she goes out and borrows pots. That's all she had to borrow. She sends out her boys. They go to all their neighbors. And imagine that in your neighborhood, sending out some kids to go, hey, my mom needs to borrow some pots. Just empty one. Doesn't matter. She probably got some big ones, probably got some small ones. And they're bringing them around home. And they run out to the next place. And they're gathering all these pots. And they bring them in. And when nobody else has any more pots for them, she, according to instruction, she's following the instruction from the God sent man, Elijah, the man of God, who's getting direction from God himself for her, and she's doing exactly what he says, and he says, and when you get all those pots, then go to your door, close the door while you and your boys are there, and take the pot of oil that you have, whatever oil you have, and start pouring it into these pots. And by the way, she said she had just a little bit left. And she started to pour it, and it filled a pot. And she stopped, they moved the pot over here, and put the full one, they set another one there. She picks it up and she starts pouring, and it keeps pouring and pouring and pouring. And so I grabbed the pot that I've had for a long, long time here, and it's got water. It doesn't have oil in it, okay, but it's got water. And so I'm just going to take, I hope this is big enough. And this is basically, I'm just showing you visually, this is what she was doing. She was just taking these things, and I knew it wasn't going to be big enough, so I'll go ahead and pour it in there just in case. So she's sitting there pouring these things, and they bring another empty one to her. So they begin to pour some more. And, well, I'll just use this here. And as she's pouring, it pretty much is running out. It's pretty well done. So the miracle was, as long as there was an empty vessel. And I want you to understand, your faith sets the capacity. had there, when she said, bring another pot, and the boy said, there is no more, the oil stopped. The oil did not stop because God ran out of power. The oil stopped because there was no more vessels to put it in. Now, that little silver can doesn't hold a whole lot of water, but you can see how much I ended up getting out of it, you know. So if I was to take this thing again, and knowing how much water we've already poured, we could begin to pour a lot more again. So, and then kind of just get down to that. So let's take and consider some things here in this lesson here, because there are seasons in any believer's life. You could be going through a season right now that seems barren, where there's a financial need, where there is some type of, where life is just feeling like it's empty. Unexpected things come up, do they not? I am going to be coming back from Annalise's on the 31st and preaching. I will be preaching all the way through June, but I'm taking one Sunday, and I hope the church understands this and will allow me to do this. I'm taking the last Sunday of June, and I'm going to go preach for another church who asked for some help. What they are asking for, it is a brother in the Lord whose name is Josh Talent. He's been there about 7 years. He is preaching, he pastors Bethel Baptist Church in Grapevine, Texas. The people love their pastor. I say that not just lightly. The people love this guy. He's at his study. I think I made mention to you, some of you already. He's at his study studying. His wife's in the other room talking with him. They're talking back and forth. And for whatever reason, she asks him a question. He doesn't answer. She doesn't hear an answer. She asks again, doesn't hear it. She goes in there and finds that he's stooped over at his study desk, dead. March 21st, he went home to be with the Lord. 45 years of age. He wasn't in his 80s. He wasn't in his 70s. He wasn't even in his 60s or 50s. 45 years old, she finds him stooped over, and he is dead. I watched his funeral on video. Most of it was just the men in the church coming up and speaking. And man, I tell you what, from what they were saying, he had to have been an excellent pastor. Man, they loved him. That's the setting. Things can happen. I'm talking to my spouse 1 minute, the next minute he's gone. Folks, those things happen. And that's what happened in this setting. And so they gather all those things. They come along here, and they get another pot, and the boys bring, here's another one, Mom. And so they begin to pour that one until it's pretty much emptied out. And then they go put that one with all the full ones. Understand, we have limited resources. God does not. Now, you might be sitting back thinking, well, I know that things can change pretty quickly and resources can become limited, but right now I'm doing pretty good. Well, maybe this message is because it's not what you're going through right now, it's what God knows is coming down the pike. You see, some of the Bible messages that God gives us could be for the now. We need it. Oh, that spoke to me so much. And then some of them we walk away from, and that was a good challenge, but you know what? That must have been for somebody else. And it might have been for somebody else. But God may say, no, I see the end from the beginning. So I see what's getting closer to you that's coming down the pike. How many of you have ever had a financial gift, tax time comes and you get a good tax, and you go, oh, man, look, we've got this money. And God, something happens with your vehicle or something happens in your situation, the money you've been saving or putting aside for one thing, it's up getting used for something else. Always. And so you can say, man, I'm getting tired of this. Or you can say, Lord, I thank you that you gave me wisdom to put money away for what I thought, but you had a different reason for it. So what I'm trying to tell you is that you and I today need to be preparing our jars. Because we don't know what's happening. You need to spend time, more time in the Word to increase your faith. Your faith sets a capacity. More time in the Word. Faith comes by hearing. And I'm glad that that missionaries that we talk about took somebody that couldn't read and said, listen to the Bible, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They even have, there's a group, this ministry is called Faith Cometh by Hearing, and they even have these black, I used to have a couple of them, they're black boxes about this big, and they're recorded with the scriptures on them from Genesis to Exodus to Revelation, and you can get a hand crank, you pull out, and you can crank it up. It's for people that are living in the tribal areas that don't have electricity. It generates energy, and they can plug it up, and it runs off of a battery. It charges the battery, and they can hear the Word of God. And there are tribal people that are gathering, a whole group of people are gathering just to hear the Word of God in their language. Boys, give me another pot. So they come, and they're excited. They're seeing what God is doing there. And so they get another one, and they begin to take that thing, and next thing you know, you got a bunch more coming out until it's pretty well done. Prepare your jars. Not because you are already have the oil. You're not preparing jars and getting them in because you have the oil, but because God is about to pour the oil. Faith is not waiting for the overflow before you act. Faith is making space before the miracle takes place. Read this story again. Faith is gathering the vessels in obedience, even when nothing makes sense. You see, gathering the vessels is a step of obedience because that's what the preacher said. And I'm not talking about the preacher, but God, through the preacher, is directing him to tell him. In Scripture here, in 2 Kings, the oil did not stop because God ran out. It stopped when there were no more jars. Let that sink in. If there would have been more jars, if somebody would have come and, hey, my mom found another one, they would have been able to go over to that other one, grab that thing and say, you know, let's see. Hey, it is working again. It is working again. It hasn't run out because we still had the space. Sometimes we think, we won't ever verbalize it, but sometimes we think that it's God that has the limits on Him. That God's limited. God is never limited in His power. It is our preparation and readiness for what God is going to do. So I have to, and you have to, prepare our life. We have to prepare our heart. We have to be acting in obedience to the instruction of the Word and preparing and expecting God to provide. Because when God begins to pour, He doesn't just do it halfway. He fills. He will overflow. He will multiply, as He did with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes and fed 5,000 people. And that was just counting the men, the Bible says, with breaking bread. You realize how long that could even take to break that much bread to feed that many people? I don't think it was a piece at a time. I think it must have just went, poof, poof, poof. Yeah. And it says, by the way, they ate till they were full and had leftovers. I'm not a leftover person, unless it's pizza, amen? Some things are good leftover, amen? What are some things that are good that are leftovers? Pizza? What else? Huh? No, we don't believe in speaking in tongues here, brother. Carl, what do you think is good leftover? Meatloaf is good. Yeah, meatloaf is really good, man. You heat it back up and put it in sandwiches, nothing but ketchup, man, oh man. I mean, there's a lot of good things. Yeah. Do you like everything leftover? So what if you don't eat all your frosted flakes and they get all soggy? Is that good leftover? No, you don't eat them, all right. Potato salad. I love potato salad. Okay, let's go ahead and close the prayer so we can go eat. We have to not only prepare our life and prepare our heart and prepare our expectation, but we also have to remove all doubt. And we need to make room. This is kind of neat. We need to make room for God's presence. Understand that when that lady and her sons came in, they were by themselves with empty vessels and one pot with a little bit of oil that she could not have sold and paid everything. But though it looked empty, God's presence was there. The three Hebrews understood God's presence in the fiery furnace. And as long as they had what it took, they could come and say, let's go ahead and try this again. And it's just like, yep, that's it. That's it. That's all. It's done. That is what we call, and you wonder where coffee gets their themes, good to the last drop. What you're seeing with God in this story, this provision of oil, is supernatural. Man, we need God to do some supernatural things in our lives, amen? And He still does, by the way, if we believe. By the way, what I'm doing up here, not supernatural. I'm not doing anything supernatural here. Vonda's over there going, no, you're not. Don't be so hard on me, Vonda. I'm trying to illustrate things here. If I flick them on you, it might be. What looks small, insignificant in your hands and in my hands becomes supernatural in His. The little boy we referenced brought his little insignificant lunch. And even Philip says, but what is this? Despise thou the little things? Considering the multitudes here. One of my favorite songs, I learned this song. I'd never heard this hymn before until I got to Bible college. And man, I needed to hear it then because it became our theme verse in Bible college. When you're in Bible college with married, four kids, working a full-time job, going to school full-time, I was taking 16 hours. I don't know how I did it. And they began to sing this hymn, and I thought, wow, little as much when God is in it. Oh, that's a great hymn. And that took me right through Bible college. Now let me say something here very important. Your house, my house, will remain empty. Your season, when it comes, if you have a listening ear and an obedient heart, if you are walking by faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For we must what? Believe that He is. Your faith begins in who He is. That's where it begins. And if we have that, then your house will not be empty. Your provision will not be without fulfillment. your story, your testimony will not have lack. Come. Imagine that lady. We're going to meet her one day. Gets the water pot, sets it down, and there's Jesus. He begins ministering to her. In the conversation, water doesn't even get poured. And then she hears it and runs all the way back to town. A woman who's been married 5 times, and the man that she's living with out of wedlock is not even her husband. And she runs back and she's meeting all the people in the community, and she just excitedly says, come see a man who told me all ever I did. Is this not the Christ? And then the people go, where? Out at the well. Her lack brought God glory, and many people you'll meet in heaven because of her testimony of the supernatural in her life, where she was empty and God filled her. There will be oil, oil of provision, oil of healing, oil of restoration, oil of joy. I don't know how much is still here. Let's try it. Wow. That is it. Oh, my friends, right there, there's a whole other message right there. Because that rich man would be going, can I have that last drop? That rich man will be going, give me that last drop, Kevin. It will flow for you right where you are in your season. Don't wait for proof. Walk and trust by faith. That's exactly what she did. She took all the oil, and I'll guarantee you she had many more pots than this one thing here. And she followed. Her obedience wasn't done yet, folks. She took everything she had, went to the market, and oil was a needed product back then. And she began to go, and what would you give me for all of these pots of oil? And they began to... She took it, went and found those two, the guys that were going to sell her boys. How much was that debt? It was 15 shekels. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Boom. Paid in full, they hit, you know. And then, that was great right there, amen. But he told her something that not only took care of her immediate need, it carried her for the rest of her life. You use that, and you and your boys live on the rest of that. Tell me God doesn't care about the widow, huh? I'm just curious now. I told you that this was a 3S message. Simple, short sermon. I'm ready to stop right now. But there's only one problem. The water hasn't. I believe it's empty now. And I'm so confident that this thing is empty, I'm going to pour it over Don's head. All in favor, say amen. Johnny. Johnny raised his hand like, yeah. Let's just see what would have happened here. We're down to the last drops here, folks. See, last drops. Althea asked me today, are you going to do that thing before, at the beginning, so the kids can watch? I said, I'm going to pour it at least once, maybe twice, maybe 3 times, So now I'll be using it all the way through the whole service. I said, but you can take it and do it and teach the lesson to the kids later so that they can see it. A simple little illusion, all right? But it brings a great illustration. Amen? Jesus, folks, Jesus didn't have access to this. He had access to parables, though. He taught through parables, visualization. But he also taught through miracles. Now we're pretty well empty. So, I know there are some people out there right now that are, by the way, this here just keeps filling up every year to give to the missionaries to fill their pots for Christmas time, amen? So, anybody have any thoughts before we close in prayer? How many want to know how I did it? Just out of curiosity. You put $5 in here more, we'll tell you. Amen? Helen, I shouldn't do that, should I? You guys, I shouldn't do that, should I?
Yes.
For the missionaries.
That's all right, I don't mind.
Man, this is like a revival. I just got to make sure. I think it's empty now. It's getting close, so anyway. All right, how many want to know how this is done? How many of you don't care? If you don't care, raise your hand. John doesn't care. Vonda doesn't care. Anybody else not care? Anna doesn't care. Okay, you guys are dismissed. We only want those true believers, all right? True believers. Hold on. I'll give you, because you all were here, I'll give you, each of you guys, a hanky that you can use for prayer, all right? This canister is got a tube. I'm afraid I'm going to pour water out. It has a tube that runs all the way down through it. So at the bottom of this tube here, is a little hole. So as I take this and fill this up in here, it comes up and it goes down and it seeps in that little hole and goes into the walls of the rest of the thing. So it's a like a toilet paper tube going down there, and then you can see how narrow that would be, like this, and then it fills up everything on the outside. And it's a double wall thing. And then in order for it to work, there is another little tiny pinhole here. So when I stop that, it forces what's in the walls to come out the hole that it has, and then it drains itself. See it starting to come out there? Watch. Out of the side there. So it's a pretty good little illusion. Kids love it. Helen loves it. Helen's love for it is $5 worth of love, all right? And so the missionaries benefit from that. So anyway, let's stand for prayer. Good little illustration. I figured I'd bring it because it tied in with the lesson today. And man, look at this, 20 after. That's 10 minutes. Huh? There you go. Aren't you glad that ours isn't just a gimmick that we have with God? We have a genuine provider with oil, real oil, the oil of the Holy Spirit. Brother Carl, why don't you close us in prayer and pray everybody has a great, profitable, blessed week this week.